Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. We're glad you're here with us at LA Talk Radio. If you don't know the number, I'm getting ready to tell it to you. 323-203-0815. On the Air, Empowered Communications with Dr. Pat Allen.
Oh, make sure that they know that the station will call them back.
Yes. Well, you get that strange phone number calling in that you don't recognize. It's us. So answer. Don't send us to voicemail. It makes it really, really difficult for our team to take care of you if we can't get a hold of you. So remember that if you call in, we will be calling back. And so definitely remember that. Susie.
Yes.
Got anything groovy to tell us?
Okay. Well, for all the listeners, I know there's listeners from all over. We have the Life Script class that I have a class available on Saturday, February 25th. And then I am also opening up a class. All the other classes are full. March 25th will be available as well, I believe. Everything's on the website, www.wanteyestore.com. I have Saturday, March 11th is open up for a live script. And also Dr. Allen's doing a Getting to I Do class. It's a full day class in our Newport Beach office. It's from 9 to 4. It's the next one is Saturday, February 18th. And I have one available Saturday, March 18th. It's $150 for each class, and it's limited to 6 attendees. You can also register on Want iStore, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. That's DrPatallen. A lot of people have been asking about the Getting to I Do and Life Script to do it on a webinar or online. Those classes are not available other than being in person. The Getting to I Do seminar, if you want a product that's similar to what Dr. Allen will be teaching, the Lifetime of Love is the companion. It's an audio CD set with a workbook. It's the companion to the book Getting to I Do. It's available, I believe it's $30. It's a downloadable version, and it's available on the Want iStore. So I highly recommend that if you've read the book and you want more material, go and order the Lifetime of Love. And then, as always, we do have our monthly seminars, the first Monday in L.A. at the Courtyard Marriott in Culver City, and the first Wednesday, we've changed. It's at the Newport Beach Community Center. All of the address and information's on our website, drpatallen.com. And Dr. Allen and I will be conducting a live webinar on Thursday, January 26th, right after the radio station. It's from 6:15 to 7:30. You can register on the Want iStore. It's $10. I have six ladies in the hot seat. Or you can email me questions. The email questions we answer at the beginning of the webinar, and then Dr. Allen works with six ladies. The hot seat is already full, but you're more than welcome to email me your questions, and they will be addressed at the beginning of the webinar. That's all I have going on, Kelly. You can take it away.
Awesome. Terrific. So that's right after our radio show on the 26th.
Yes. So if you have to register to get an invitation and a login, so it's Thursday, January 26th, and the information after, if you're not available to attend live, you will get an audio once you purchase a seat in the webinar. You'll get the recorded version of it if you're not available to attend live.
And too fun. So we've had our Monday and Wednesday for January, so our upcoming Monday and Wednesday will be February.
Yes.
Perfect.
Are men welcome to these things?
To what things?
Any of these things, dreams,
the Getting to I Do is, well, we don't have a dreams class. The we have the life script classes available for men, and the getting to I do, the next two classes are pretty much available to the ladies. You're conducting them geared towards the ladies.
Okay.
We can open up a men's class. I don't get too many men inquiring about it, so it's kind of hard to fill the class.
Okay.
Oh, Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
I know.
And
who else wants to get on with me?
We have our first caller calling in. It's probably going to be a second here to get hooked up. But that's,
hello?
There we go. Hi, caller.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Good. What can we do for you?
I was calling because this man met me. He's like 20 years older than me.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it was good. And I was a little nervous because he's in the same Buddhist group that I go to. So I was a little nervous about that. But anyway, he asked me out. And and then when we went out, he said he's actually married but separated 10 years. And then at the time, I felt really uncomfortable because I want to get married, and I wasn't sure if I don't want to be with a married person, but he is separated.
Wait a minute.
Kind of
wait a
it
minute.
Off.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Women are not married when they stop having sex. Men are not married when the U.S. government says they're not married. Separated men are totally married.
Mm-hmm.
So women make a big mistake when they think that because men are separated from their sex partners that they're not married. Men do not. Marriage for a man is a document, a business, a legal venture. Marriage for a woman is a sensual, sexual adventure. Men want, if they can have them, find them, free wives. Do you know what a free wife is? It's somebody who dates a man who's legally married. I don't care if he's separated 10 years. He's legally married. Men marry legally. Women marry sexually.
Okay. So do you feel like it was the right thing that I broke it off, since I do want to get married?
Well, it depends on if you don't want to get married. If you don't want to get married, the best thing you can do is rationalize that men are married, even if, that men are not married if they're not having sex with their ex-wives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I do want to get married. So,
well, if you want to get married, you have to. You know what? You can't buy a house until you check the legality of it being sold, can you?
Yeah.
It's a clear title. I want everyone that's listening to understand men marry legally, intellectually. They don't marry sexually until they're over 50.
Okay, he is 66. Does that make a difference? Then,
yes, that means he's totally married to his wife because he hasn't divorced her.
Yeah, they don't live together, but they have property.
Honey, now their bodies are still married. They both know that they can't marry anyone else. They don't like each other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they love each other as family.
Yeah, even when they don't live together because they're legally married.
Didn't you hear living together is sexual?
Yeah, no, I do. Okay.
When a woman does not have sex or live with her man, she's divorced. When a man is not living with his ex and having sex, he's married as long as the document has not been nullified.
Okay. Well, that's very helpful. Yeah, because he's very, very magnetizing and charming and stuff.
I understand that. He's probably a sociopath.
he just writes text so well. I'm like, he must be.
I've got news for you, sweet talk. What is the major sex organ for a woman?
Ears.
Ears. What's the major sex organ for a man?
Eyes.
Yes. So even if he's...
taking your classes.
What?
I've been taking lots of your classes. I was at your script class.
I appreciate that. But you think, you very said helpful. So carefully, he separated 10 years. Men don't separate.
Yeah, because at first I was like, no way. And then, of course, other people and friends were like, he's separated. Don't worry about it. Go for it.
You want to know something? So, as soon as they have their PhD, are certified by Harvard in sex and alcohol, give me a call, right?
Yeah, I knew you'd give me the best advice.
The best advice, if you want to be safely spinsterized, please feel free to marry a man it's illegal for him to marry anybody else except in certain areas in Utah.
Yeah. And you told me at the class to find someone who's loving and will, you know, make love and not just use me. So I got to stick to that.
No, you don't got to. You can be conned with his sweet talk into wasting years of your pulchritude. Your collagen will be running down the street.
Yeah, it's amazing how good he is at it. I won't even care.
I got news for you. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, he's good. So,
all right.
So what should I do to just avoid it? Just avoid him?
What you can do is say to him, I'd love to do everything but be sexual with you while I look for my husband. Are you looking for a husband?
Yes.
Okay. Then he can be at the end of the list. Remember, I want you to date three men at least three times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He can be number three if you have nothing else to do. Do you know what you can do during that date? Learn how to listen to sweet talk and not surrender.
Oh, that's a good lesson.
It's called muscle building.
Okay.
Muscle All right.
building.
Remember,
agree.
There's something.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's something good in every bad activity, and there's something bad in every good activity.
Mm-hmm.
It is good to not overeat sugar. That's not fun.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay, all right. So it's okay to go on dates. Okay, thank you guys. Have a great night.
You too.
What?
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. There is definitely something good in every situation, bad and good in all situations.
Yes.
It looks like we have another caller. Let's see if we can get them connected here.
Hello?
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
My name is... Hi, Dr. Allen. This is Frankie Salazar. I actually had an appointment with you today. I don't know if you remember myself and my girlfriend, Mika.
And
we, you know, we had talked about, you know, how we changed that dynamic of how we interact differently with my daughter, you know, the co-parenting and, ranking Mika as number one and my daughter as number two. So I just wanted to ask you, like, because something we didn't discuss is, like, how does that really show up for us? Like, what am I going to be doing differently than what I have been doing? Because it's kind of important. So
each situation is unique. Mm-hmm. The situation that you brought up is your woman the woman you're saying you're monogamous, continuous, and aiming towards marriage with, your woman got into trouble with a relative of yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the relative got uppity, and it was a man.
Mm-hmm.
And your first instinctive thought was to protect your four-year-old daughter from your brother who was attacking your girlfriend, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
But
he wasn't attacking your daughter.
Right. Yet I was protecting her first.
You were protecting her from the pain of watching grown-ups fighting.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, I hate to mention this, but how you show her to handle grown-ups fighting is better than trying to manipulate the fighters.
Gotcha. Okay. So how about just in everyday life when it's just, you know, the three of us, myself, my fiance and my daughter.
You're a team with the woman that you want to be a stepmother, right?
Yes. Yes.
So it's called...
I want to do the co-parenting.
Co-parenting.
Uh-huh.
You check with each other. You check with each other when you're passing out. Kids are very clever. They're born with a big, clever button. They know which of you parents have the softer head and heart. Then they go to you and get you to back them. And then you get to tell your partner, your love, your wife, your husband, whoever, what you and the child have decided, which immediately locks the partner out of the game. Whereas if you're really wanting to be mated or married, now mating is marriage without a legal document. That means no legal documents with other people or you. No legal documents anywhere. So mating is not a governmental operation. Marriage is a governmental. And people that have government contracts to be married, especially men, are truly married.
Mm-hmm.
And the more a woman bitches and moans at them to get a divorce and marry them, the more she turns her man off. Because if he wanted to be divorced, he would have done it instantly.
Right.
One of the best tactics that I used when my kids would come in and they'd say, well, I want XYZ, or they'd try to propose an arrangement with me, I would always say, stop. If we're going to have this conversation, we need to get your dad.
There and, you go.
And then what we would always be, typically I'd say, let me go get him. And then I'd go in the bedroom and I'd say, hey, the kids want this. What do you think? And then we'd have a very fast confab, and then we'd go back out and we'd have the discussion with our kids, whatever it is they wanted, whether it be a puppy or to watch a TV show that they weren't really supposed to watch. It's non-negotiable. If one parent is answering on behalf of both parents, there's always going to be a problem between you and your mate.
The kids are going to split you up like you can't even imagine.
And it causes a great deal of animosity between the mother and the father, between you and your mate. I would advise highly to not do it.
So then that makes a lot of sense. So then what, because right now.
Well, and beside that, you have to decide if you want to be a son, a brother, a father. You see, you have to decide what name you give to your relationships. And if you want to be a son more than a husband, you're going to have problems.
No, I don't. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be a father more than a husband, you're going to have a lot of problems.
Yeah, no, I don't want that either. So, and you think the dynamic is definitely going to change?
You know what? I cannot hear you.
I said the dynamic will definitely change.
You need to speak up a little. No. Yeah, we can't hear.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Sorry about that. So I said, you think definitely the dynamic will change once, you know, we actually get to that stage. Because the reason why we met with you today, because remember it was a pre-engagement counseling session. So once we actually are officially engaged and that ring is on her finger, then the dynamic would change between, you know, for, in the eyes of my four-year-old. She's going to...
No, it won't change in the eyes of your four-year-old.
No.
Well, I mean, because...
It'll change in her eyes when she sees the two of you. See, how long have you dated your woman?
8 months.
Okay. I hate to mention it, but in 8 months, you're supposed to be demonstrating what you're going to solidify when you're engaged. But you were totally...
I'm two months behind.
Yeah, you're a little bit behind in the program. Uh-huh. I saw a marvelous father protecting his daughter when his girlfriend was being harassed by his brother. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So your loyalty was to your daughter, who was not having any problems with anybody.
Right. That is correct.
Remember, too, she learns how to be in a relationship and what a relationship's about by watching you with your mate.
Dr. Allen hit on that today, and that really, like, drove something home for me. I never looked at it like that. I was like, oh, yeah, that's huge, right?
Yes, that's huge. Critical. Freud called it an unresolved Electra complex. In fact, Freud was married to his daughter, Anna.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want that. Okay.
All right.
I think you answered my questions. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Okay, have a nice evening. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, caller. That one is a really great question. That's a tough one for a lot of people.
I know it. And that's why he got me on the phone on the radio to see if I would do it in public too.
Yeah. It has long and far reaching ramifications in the long term for the child.
Father to daughter is Electra. Mother to son is Oedipal.
Oedipus. Yeah. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Oh, wonderful. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
So I have I'll spare you the details and just ask my question directly. What are your thoughts about who says I love you first in a relationship? And does it matter?
Totally.
If several. Okay, let's hear it.
This is what it is. First of all, we're all Oedipal. We're all androgynous. Men have male bodies, female souls, the anima. Emma Young wrote the book Anima Animus. And women have yin bodies, but yang souls called the animus. And so for that reason, each person has to decide, do they want to be respected first, cherished second? That usually goes with young men and old women. Or do you want to be cherished first, respected second? That usually goes with young women and old men. If you want to be respected and cherished equally, you're called narcissistic clients, and the only people that can go with you are zero people. So whoever is male, yang, that person speaks first, hi, my name is. I don't care if women want to be respected first. I don't care if men want to be cherished first, but I do want to know, what's your first choice? What's your second choice? So the question you asked is, who says I love you first? It's supposed to be the most masculine of the couple. Straight, gay, the top man, and the butch woman and the masculine man straight. It's masculine because it's very yang, and yang is very left lobe, and the left lobe is very talkative where the right lobe is not. The right lobe wants to be cherished, and that's called I love you too, responsive. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yes. I have a follow-up question, which is, if you are in an exclusive relationship and you feel, I'll just give you my example.
Are you masculine or feminine?
I might be a little bit of an alpha, but I would like to be.
Wait a minute. You used the word alpha as if it was narcissism. Alpha is not narcissistic. Alpha people are either in their yang thinking or their yin feelings. When they want both respect and cherishing, it isn't because they're alphas. It's because they're narcissists, sociopaths, psychopaths. Alphas have to decide in each relationship whether they want that person to respect their thinking or that person to cherish their feelings, because they have duality. Betas are mostly yang or mostly yin. So they pretty much stay structured. But alphas can flex back and forth. So alphas are not by nature narcissistic.
Okay.
They have the capacity to be narcissistic, but alpha does not make for narcissism.
Well, I am probably an alpha, but in the relationship, I am the feminine energy, and I want to be cherished first.
All right. Then you will speak from that point, and that point is, what do you think, dear? What do you want, dear? How can I help you, dear? It's massive amounts of respect for your partner, straight, gay, or lesbian, doesn't matter. Are you good at that?
I think I have been very good at that in this relationship. I am definitely with a masculine energy man, and I do feel he cherishes me. He shows it very much in his actions.
That's right. And you know why? The more you respect a manly man, whether it's a woman's body or a man's body, the more you respect them, the more they feel cherished, and it spills over on you.
I think that's true.
I know that's true.
So I am trying my best to be patient, passive, and vulnerable.
Very good.
It's yes, and I'm practicing. But I am naturally sometimes, I would say I'm being patient in this question, but I'm not sure if there's a point at which I should be worried that
well,
he
then
hasn't
you probably
said,
want
I love
to
you.
Compete, conquer, and control him.
I'm trying to resist the urge, but I'm just curious if from your perspective, is there any time within the first year of a relationship, because I've had previous relationships where we were together and exclusive for 7-8 months, and
yes,
the guy would
you
never
did the
say,
perfect period for 3 months, you did the imperfect clumsy period for 3 months, then it came to negotiating the deal, and you got competitive, conquering, and controlling, or he became passive, patient, and vulnerable. It's called passive aggressive in a man. It's called passive in a woman, but in a man, it's passive aggressive. You see? For a man to be competitive, conquering, and controlling is awesome. For a woman to be competitive, controlling, and conquering may not be that good. Mm-hmm. In other words, all characteristics are good when chosen seriously. It's when you want to be passive, patient, and vulnerable, competitive, conquering, and controlling that I make money. Because that's narcissism. What?
Right. Because we shouldn't do both if we want to be in the feminine energy.
We have to use both, but not at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time to be passive, patient, and vulnerable, and there's a time to be competitive, conquering, controlling. But when you want to be competitive, conquering, controlling, I suggest you make an appointment with your man before you do it. And when he wants to become passive, aggressive, patient, aggressive, vulnerable, aggressive, he better ask permission for an appointment as well.
Mm-hmm.
See, all these characteristics are good, and everybody has them. It's how you use them. There's two people in every body, and there's four people in every relationship. When I teach, I'm a transactional analyst. I just move words around. Beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, at the doctor's office being well, and in every single relationship, especially the loving ones, parent, child, child, parent, sister, 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 brother, anywhere love is, there are four people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So teaching four people how to waltz with words is my job. That's what I do for a living and a loving.
Is there a feminine way to communicate to a romantic partner that you enjoy getting verbal expressions about how that person feels about you? Or is that asking
I recommend, have you read my book?
I've read Getting to I Do, but not the thing where
Getting to I Do. Chapter 14 is about negotiating. You negotiate time. I time, we time, us time. That means alone with that person and with the group. Space. How do we live together or visit each other? How do we coexist in space? Third category, money. My money, your money, our money. Fourth category, play. Non-sexual play. I don't like it when you blank, blank, blank. I want to do these things with you that are non-sexual. Go skiing. Play tennis. I want to do these things with a group of people. Bowling. Sexually. I don't want you kissing men on the cheek. I don't want you patting them on the butt. Whoever, man, woman, whatever. And then what you want sexually from each other. And are you an open relationship swinging? Or are you closed, monogamous? So what you're talking about is I want people to negotiate before they're sexual about monogamy, continuity, and longevity. I want them then to move into engagement counseling. Do we live together? Do we not? How do we handle our money? Then I want them to negotiate their marital agreement if they want one. Do you see? But I want them in the first year of commitment to do it every 2 months. From the time you stop dating other people, that's how men ask us. They say, I'm not dating. I don't want you to date anybody else now. From that moment on, for every 2 months for a year, I want you to negotiate time, space, money, and play. The second year, every 4 months, time, space, money, and play. The third year, every 6 months, that's twice a year, and then every year at your anniversary for life, you negotiate time, space, money, and play.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving you a whole section and a ritual for the rest of your life to negotiate. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will definitely reread that chapter. And
but I did you hear what I gave you today? Where are you in the relationship? How long have you been with him?
We have been dating for about almost 6 months, exclusively for 4 months. And I read Getting to I Do, so I tried my best to work those methods. So I waited till he asked to be exclusive.
That's right. Do you see what I'm saying?
And it was great. I didn't think he would bring it up, and he completely did. And,
so now you're in the first year, right?
First year, yep.
And the first year is every 2 months. And the second year is every 4 months. And the third year is every 6 months, and then once a year for life. Life of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how people don't understand that a relationship is a business, a spiritual business, a physical business, literally a legal business, an emotional business, and yet we don't negotiate boundaries. You can't run a business without boundaries.
That's very true. I'm a lawyer, so I know that. But when it comes to the personal life, it's like all the rules get thrown out the window. So it's a really good reminder.
And do you do divorce law?
No. I'm a transactional lawyer, so I don't do family law or litigate.
You know, do you understand that I would love nothing better than the world to catch on to my simplistic thinking and negotiate my way so that I go out of business?
Right.
You got it?
Our people usually aren't so direct and clear with each other. We kind of sometimes play games. And
do you know what we do? We believe in the abstract, theoretical. Somebody came to me and said, but I want to negotiate love. Love is a verb, not a noun.
I agree.
There is no such thing as love without action. Talk is cheap. Action isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
Oh, I agree with that.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Pat.
Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go. Excellent. I think we forget that. I think we forget that we need to negotiate.
Yep.
Hi. Hi, caller. Hi. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Awesome. I'm so excited.
Woo!
I wanted to ask a question in referral to the male caller that called a little earlier with his daughter. What advice, Dr. Pat Allen, do you have for a daughter that grew up where the father put me first and I'm dating now? I go to your talks all the time, and I called last week too.
I know that. You know, it is so hard to deal with because the mother and the daughter fight, you see?
Because my mom wasn't around at all.
She wasn't around at all, and you were the wife emotionally of your father?
Probably sometimes, yes.
Okay, then what is your personal question? I know you heard the man talk about his daughter.
Well, I guess because you told him that he's giving her that image of what it's like to date and what a relationship is. And so now that I'm looking for my partner, my lifetime partner, my husband,
yes,
then, you know, do I have this false image that this man can put me first, I guess? I mean, I would say no, but...
Wait a minute. As a wife, he has to put you first.
Right.
If he doesn't put you first, see, this is in my books, Getting to I Do and Staying Married and Loving It. I pay special attention to mixing families together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see? Because,
right,
because how you rank order children, parents, you know, you have to know that you're either a daughter or you're a wife. Or you're a mother. Do you know how often men lose their wives to their children and most assuredly to their grandchildren?
Mm.
You see, they lose their wives. The women pick their children and their grandkids over their husband.
Mm. So with my scenario, we moved away for years, but we now have lived together for 5 years. And I'm...
Are you engaged?
I'm not. I'm actually dating right now. Duty dating and real dating.
Oh, you're dating. Now, who are you living with? Did you say you were living with someone?
With my father.
You're living with your father. There's nothing wrong with living with your father as long as you're looking for a husband.
Yes, I am. I am. And so.
But once you get a husband, your father goes behind your husband in authority. Can
right.
you do
like
that?
I would want to be first before he put his mom, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I would love to know how many people are listening right now all over the world that are going, oh my God, I'm married to my dad, or I'm married to my mom.
Right.
But I know it's true. Freud make a living. He made a living off the Electra and the Oedipal complex, which is inappropriate marriage emotionally to a mother or a father.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Okay. But there's nothing wrong with the pragmatics of living with your father while you're looking for your husband.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Dr. Petta.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. That's a tough situation right now with the economy being what it is.
I know it. More kids are living with, but it's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of communication. It isn't the de facto living with somebody. People could be 1,000 miles apart.
Hello?
How many times have I heard a woman say he has to call his mother at noon, breakfast, and after? All day long he's talking to his mother.
Exactly. Hey, do we have a caller on the air?
Yes. Hello. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi, caller. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question. I have this confusing situation. A few weeks ago, a nice gentleman took me out on a date. And it was really nice. And then afterward, this was actually before Christmas. He left for Christmas for a few days. And then I was sick for almost a week. And while I was sick, he kept asking me out. And I said, you know, I would love to, but I have this flu from hell and it's just awful.
Yes.
One day, and this is so nice, he sent me a text and he says, hey, why don't you look outside your front door and you make me feel better? And I thought, oh, interesting. So
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, he brought me flowers and a handwritten note and then chicken soup.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
No one's ever done that for me. That's so nice.
Have you been raised to be a boy?
Yes.
Well, then that's why you didn't get chicken soup and flowers. They wanted you to bring chicken soup and flowers to your boyfriend, who was really your girlfriend.
Oh my God, yes. And see, now I do your stuff and I get flowers and chicken soup. That's amazing.
It's totally amazing.
So you know, I got well 2 days after, and he didn't.
Did you thank him?
Oh, of course. Yes, yes, yes.
Did you appreciate him?
Very much so, yes.
Or did you say you didn't have to do that?
Oh, my God, no. No, no, no. All right. No, I don't say
that. All right, so what's your question?
Well, yes, I thanked him, and then he vanished for 3 days after that, and then yesterday he reached out to me. And like in the handwritten note, he said, get well, I can't wait to see you again.
I know it. What happened today or yesterday?
So yesterday, late night, he texts me some funny picture, and I say, oh, that's hilarious. And then he asked me how I felt. I said, oh, I'm fine now. I'm way better. And then he says, what are your plans for the rest of the week? And I said, no plans, just studying. I'm studying for a license right now. And he says, well, let me know if you need a study buddy. I have some work I need to do. How should I respond? Because that's not, he's not really asking me out or anything.
No, he's not asking you out.
No.
What you do in to answer him is thank you for the study buddy invitation. I was looking for something more fun.
Oh, cool. Oh, I'll do that then. I just said, I don't remember what I said. I think I said, okay. It was really late at night. I think I said, I don't want to look now, but something neutral. I didn't say yes or no, but it was like, okay, I'm drifting off to sleep night. And
no, what you did was reject him.
Oh, shit.
What he was doing was asking you to hang out with him.
Mm-hmm.
That is the fastest route to sex.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to have sex with him.
I understand that, mm-hmm. But that was his way of going for it.
Okay.
Do you want to be study buddies? Is hanging out?
Yeah, no, I don't hang out like that anymore.
Okay. So with that in mind... If you want to be deeply serious, you could say, I appreciate your invitation to be friends, but I'm looking for a boyfriend.
I don't know if I want to say that. I mean, I just had one date with this guy. I can't even figure out if he's a man or a woman yet. I don't know.
Right now, what he asked you in doing this, he dropped off the romance quickly. And switched over to hanging out. And I don't want you to hang out with people. What?
That's so confusing. I mean, flowers and soup, and then 3 days later this.
Yes, dear, that's what I'm saying. He jumped from flowers and romantic soup over to hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a big drop-off.
Got it. So would it be okay...
Thank you for offering to be study buddies, but I'd rather play.
Okay. Just in those exact words, I can say that? I'd rather play?
No, you can say it any way you want, except what you're saying is, I don't want to work with you to start with. I want to play with you.
Uh-huh. Got it. Okay. All right. I'll do that.
Okay.
Thanks, caller.
What happens, yeah. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Good.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Yeah, that kind of went right to the friend zone, didn't it?
Well, this is what happened, all gossip behind the scenes, is that he was a little ticked off that she wasn't willing to get out of her sick bed and hang out or do something. Do you see what I mean?
Right. It was interesting because I guess he had asked her out several times.
She said she was ill, and he still was asking her to go out.
Right. So either maybe he didn't believe she was sick, and so he thought he'd try the hangout tactic.
Yes,
I'm not sure.
That's
yeah.
Right. I sense a little bit of impatience.
I do, too, although his romantic gesture was lovely. I think
very
you're right.
Lovely.
He may have thought that she was just blowing him off.
Yes, that's right.
Hmm. So is that fixable?
I just gave her the statement. Thank you for asking to be a study buddy. I'd rather play. She's so, turning it back into a fun experience, dating.
Exactly. Very interesting. Dr. Allen, we're out of time. What you got to say?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you'll be back next week. Don't forget www.drpatallen.com. Follow us on Facebook, tweet with us, and don't forget we have a You Caring. Look that up. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.